Happy Monday, Bucks fans. Depressing Monday, sad Monday, ram your head against the wall Monday, repair your hands from punching the wall Monday, whatever you want to call it, Bucks fans. Thank you for being here. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. This is the Monday Morning Joe podcast presented by Lakeland Auto Mall, Ford and Hyundai and Discount Garage Doors. You know, this is a tough day for me. For me personally, because as those of you who listen to the podcast religiously each week, and I appreciate the growing numbers and the strength of what is a relatively new podcast and a weekly podcast, this is tough because I am a Bucks fan. I'm not pretending like some of the rest of the media to be some sort of sage, objective person. I didn't come into Joe Bucks Fan like this. I came in as a journalist to JoeBucksFan.com, where we created this site to be opinion-driven while still covering the team with facts and reporting and covering the team like anybody else, but with a new twist. But the underlying theme here is Joe Buck's fan. I mean, I care about the team. I'm a fan of the team. I've told this story before. I'm somebody who almost got fired from my job in 07 because I walked out because the Bucks had a playoff game and I was working Sundays, and that just was, I was just not going to miss it. January 08, to be exact. And this site was started in August of 08. But this is a tough day. I know it's a tough day for all of you. And I was thinking about, what is this podcast really about? Like, what am I really supposed to be doing here? I understand that, yeah, I run a website and I'm trying to make some money and we have a business and the podcast sub. I understand the business end of it. I understand that I'm supposed to entertain and inform, and that's how radio and podcasts work. I've done plenty of radio in my day, so I get that. But the core of this podcast, I mean, what am I supposed to be doing today after something like that? I really had to ask myself that. It's become so difficult with these groin stomp, gut punch, rip your heart out losses and the state of this team, which is just a mess. I was just struggling where to go with this thing. I was going to do it last night, but now it's Monday morning and here I am. But I think I figured out which way to go. Where you should go first, that's to Lakeland Auto Mall, Ford and Hyundai. It's their model year-end closeout right now, where you can save up to $12,000 off MSRP with special dealer discounts on all 2017 Ford and Hyundai vehicles. Lakeland Ford, Lakeland Auto Mall, Ford and Hyundai. Check them out online. That's how everybody shops for a car these days, pretty much. LakelandFord.com, LakelandAutoMall.com. Plus, every new vehicle purchased includes nationwide lifetime warranty and 1 year free maintenance. Shop from nearly 1,000 vehicles in stock and make your selection by price or by payment. Shop online, get your best deal. And then tell Lakeland Ford manager Sean Sullivan, my friend, tell him you're a stick carrier or a Bucks fan or a Joe Bucks fan reader. Tell him you love the Bucks and get an additional $500 off your best deal on any new Ford. You can't beat that. No other dealer can compare. Come to Lakeland Auto Mall today and find out why they are exceeding customer expectations every day. And Discount Garage Doors, call them now. Just do it. You got to get that garage door fixed. You know you have to get it fixed. So just go do it or get it replaced. There's financing available on a lot of new doors. There's a great selection, and they're called Discount Garage Doors for a reason. But forgetting about their competitive pricing, same day free service call, free estimate, free diagnosis. Most competitors charge for that stuff. Discount Garage Doors, dgdoors.com. They're also going to beat any comparable estimate. They serve the entire Tampa Bay area, all the way out to Orlando, a lot of Florida counties. This is a local company that has thrived and grown on good service, and they're going to take care of you 7 days a week. 7 days a week. Discount Garage Doors, dgdoors.com. Use your 10% off Joe Bucks Fan code. They've got a wide range of doors, family owned and operated. We're actually going to be doing a watch party, sort of a watch party coming up in December, a little bit with Discount Garage Doors with a twist there. So that I'm looking forward to that. Good people, dgdoors.com. Now, what I had to think about is just the essence of sports, because I know a lot of people haven't, but I've played on a lot of sports teams, a lot of different sports teams, a lot of different sports. I mean, that dominated my life growing up, and I was lucky enough to be good enough to play 3 high school sports, play college ball. And some of you who really know me understand that my dad was a football coach who wouldn't let me play football, which could go to explain why I'm so messed up when I grew up, learning how to play, learning how to run routes at 4 years old, learning how footwork and all kinds of things, and being schooled on the television as to what's going on and whatnot. And then youth football signups come up. I'm all pumped up and I don't get to play because my dad doesn't want me, my brain scrambled. The story goes from there. One day I'll tell more of that story, but I played on a lot of sports teams, a lot of sports. And probably the biggest thing I can bring to the table today, the saddest thing in some ways, is that anybody who's done that understands that there are some teams, really, there are teams who know how to win and who know how to just have that unspoken ability to finish a game or to come back and finish strong. And to just win, that winning, that element of winning, the Bucks don't have that. They do not have that. And what's scary, the scariest part about it is they had it last year. They got it. They found it. They started 3-5 and they found it. They found that unspeakable, that unspoken component that makes you a winner. They figured it out. 5 in a row, they figured it out. And I think talent caught up to them. Big stage a little bit in Dallas, but talent caught up to them at the end of last season. And there were some, obviously, the issues in the running game with Doug Martin and the late suspension and whatever. Talent caught up to them, but they figured out how to win. And now they don't know how to win. And that's a tough thing to not have, then get, and then lose, and then get back again. That's very, very hard. Because usually when you forget how to win, when you're a team that loses that soul that allows you to win games, it's because of a problem. It's not from just bad luck. It's a problem. And the question is, what is the problem? What's the bigger picture here with these Bucks losses? I mean, we can get into X's and O's all day long. We can study situations of what happened, but what's the bigger problem? What is the big problem here? How does Mike Smith go from a superstar, an absolute superstar defensive coordinator in Jacksonville? You look at his record, superstar. Then he goes to Atlanta as head coach. He becomes a CEO style head coach. He didn't run the defense in Atlanta. Mike Nolan and others did. I'm not saying he didn't have input, but he wasn't, and it was intentional. He wasn't crazy hands-on. Comes here to the Bucks. Things are ugly to start last year, and then they figure it out on defense. They closed last season, averaged 17 points a game against them. Yeah, Dallas carved them up. Maybe that was an omen. Big stage a little bit in Dallas, but talent caught up to them at the end of last season. And there were some, obviously, the issues in the running game with Doug Martin and the late suspension and whatever. Talent caught up to them, but they figured out how to win. And now they don't know how to win. And that's a tough thing to not have, then get, and then lose, and then get back again. That's very, very hard. Because usually when you forget how to win, when you're a team that loses that soul that allows you to win games, it's because of a problem. It's not from just bad luck. It's a problem. And the question is, what is the problem? What's the bigger picture here with these Bucks losses? I mean, we can get into X's and O's all day long. We can study situations of what happened, but what's the bigger problem? What is the big problem here? How does Mike Smith go from a superstar, an absolute superstar defensive coordinator in Jacksonville? You look at his record, superstar. Then he goes to Atlanta as head coach. He becomes a CEO style head coach. He didn't run the defense in Atlanta. Mike Nolan and others did. I'm not saying he didn't have input, but he wasn't, and it was intentional. He wasn't crazy hands-on. Comes here to the Bucks. Things are ugly to start last year. And then they figure it out on defense. They closed last season, averaged 17 points a game against them. Yeah, Dallas carved them up. Maybe that was an omen. New Orleans moved the ball a little too much, but they moved the ball a little too much on everybody last year en route to 30 points a game and 5,000 yards of offense. So the Bucks held their own in that game late in the season. But we get to this year and the wheels come off. The wheels freaking have come off the Bucks defense. And that's on Mike Smith. He should have a fix. There should be a fix. He should be smart enough to do this. Don't tell me he got stupid all of a sudden. Something is wrong. I don't know if it's a personnel thing. an attitude thing? I mean, it's hard. It's obviously everything. But let's start with the edge rush. We know there's no edge rush. We've been over it 100 times. They don't have one. They literally don't have one. It's not even an exaggeration. It does not exist. 2 sacks off the edge. Very limited pressure. They're not scaring anybody. They're not disrupting. It's bad, and it won't get better. Noah Spence, by the time you hear this podcast, he might be done for the year. There were some rumblings out of Buffalo that that might be happening. But either way, he's obviously hurt playing in that shoulder harness, and he's ineffective. Robert Ayers, his time is up. Doesn't mean he's a bad football player, but this is probably his last season with the Buccaneers or anybody paying him significant money. He's just not the player he was last year, and he's 32 years old. That happens, but whatever. We know that. We know that there are problems. What are the biggest problems? Now we hear Chris Baker, Swaggy Baker, speaking up yesterday via Twitter after TJ Ward complained about playing time to the Tampa Bay Times. Now, a lot of people are saying TJ Ward's a crier and he shouldn't be popping off, but you know what? I don't have a problem with a guy who, after a tough loss, is saying, I want to be on the damn field and because I'm a great player and I want to play. I don't have a big problem with that. But Baker taking to Twitter and saying, facts, I feel the same way, bro, and retweeting, and I know this is a Twitter world and stuff, and it's different than a guy saying it, but still, Baker's an idiot. I'm just going to call it as I see it. Baker is out of line, and I don't think his motives are so pure. I really don't. Think about it. He came to this Bucs team as a free agent signing, and aside from sort of being out of shape, sort of being banged up, not really interested in OTAs, not really interested in training camp practice. We all saw that play out on Hard Knocks. Not having a good practice reputation, work ethic reputation, with which Ira Kaufman delivered and brought first here on JoeBucksFan.com. We knew all this stuff. But here's the kicker. Baker knew he was coming to a team that wanted to rotate its defensive linemen. He knew that coming in. Dirk Cutter spoke about it publicly, how Jay Hayes in Cincinnati, one reason he was brought in is because he was so masterful at rotating 7 or 8 defensive linemen in Cincinnati successfully. Baker knew he was coming in here and was going to play half the snaps. That was his job, to rotate and be effective. And I think he really liked that aspect of it. I think he liked not necessarily coming in here and having to be the guy where he could extend his career on a team that wanted him to rotate and, you know, just do his thing and be effective. Well, he plays 40% of the snaps yesterday against Buffalo. I think it's 40%. I'm going to look it up. And then he's complaining about snaps and playing time? I mean, you pretty much were told you were going to rotate. You get 40% and you're bitching about it? It's just disingenuous to me. And he's not producing. The Bucs, frankly, could succeed. They could play the same kind of defense without him. They can surely stink up the joint at a historic level without Chris Baker there. And I don't think his attitude is healthy. And I wrote months ago that his heckling, intense heckling of Nick Folk in training camp, that was very contrary to Jameis, and who's the face of the franchise, and the way he treats players and supports his team. So, and I know some people thought that was too strong, but it's all playing out. I don't think Baker's a team guy. If it was me, I would trade him. I don't think you'll get anything for him, or I would cut him. I don't see Baker as a cog on the Super Bowl Buccaneers, so get him out of here. And I say Super Bowl because I think ultimately you have to start thinking about who's going to be around here when we're good. And I don't think Chris Baker is that guy. And no, I don't think the Bucs are good. So I think that's part of the problem. If we're looking for problems of teams and why they can't win, or what's some underlying things going on. Lavonte David last week said on the Buccaneers radio network, he was the featured guy of the week last Monday. And he had a quote that said something like, well, you know, I felt really good. I felt strong, stronger than I thought in my first game back. I felt I really could have done a lot more, but, you know, I had to play within the scheme. And, but, you know, I just couldn't do that because I had to do what I was told. Well, I thought at the time that, Lavani's basically saying he doesn't like the scheme, that he could have done more. Who comes out and says, I could have done a lot more if I was allowed to in the scheme? That's not a guy who's expressing a great buy-in for what the defensive coaches are putting out there. Obviously, TJ Ward has his issues. Levante, that which I think was telling, even though he's a team guy, he wasn't doing it to knock anybody. He was just very comfortable chatting and being straightforward. There are some things going on with that defense. And one of the biggest things right now, probably the most telling thing that I could think of coming out of yesterday's game, is Vernon Hargreaves getting benched. And that's really what happened. Don't spin it any other way. They moved him to nickel corner from being a starting outside corner against a team that doesn't pass a whole hell of a lot, that doesn't have a lot of threat at receiver. If you wanted Hargreaves to be more aggressive and to bounce back and be on the field and regain his confidence, if that was the plan, man, Buffalo was the team to let him go out there and start one more time. They don't have these great receivers, even though you might not know it yesterday. That was the team to let him, give him another shot and try to jack up his confidence. Instead, and I'm not knocking the Bucks for benching him, but instead he goes out and plays 53% of the snaps as a nickel corner. And okay, he wasn't awful yesterday. Certainly wasn't great. But where does Hargreaves stand now? And Cutter, after the game, wouldn't even say that Hargreaves would move back outside. He said, well, it depends on the injuries and whatever. And he was very, very much approaching it as if Hargreaves is going to be a nickel cornerback now and see how that goes. That's damning. Very, very damning. He was a number 11 overall pick last year. Number 11 overall pick. That guy's supposed to be a Pro Bowler. That's a guy who's supposed to be a cornerstone of your franchise, of any franchise, as the number 11 overall pick. You know, and about 50% of those guys at the top third of the draft are become busts. And it already looks like Hargreaves is a bust. They're not counting on him to play outside corner. And where's Ryan Smith? This same coaching staff told us that Smith was the number three outside corner, the first backup outside guy. They were going to trust him, and he was learning on the go. He got one game in Minnesota, and now he's buried. It's very, very damning on a personnel front. It just looks bad all the way around, to Jason Light, who's picking these players, to Mike Smith, who's obligated to get the most out of these players. And there are some trouble spots, to say the least. I mean, it's scary, as bad as it's free-falling, when the team had it figured out. They're not still in the process of figuring out. In some ways, it's worse. In some ways, you know, if they were still figuring it out, you could at least say, well, they haven't figured it out yet. But they got it last year. They got it. There's no more excuses of communications. There's no more excuses of first year in a defense. Now it's a second year. You got a veteran defense. The defense is old by NFL standards. It's scary stuff. The Bills offense, if they score 30 points again this year, I'm going to give something of value away on this podcast if the Bills score 30 points again this year, because it's just not going to happen. They're not good enough. Just not good enough to do that. I think, sadly, the bigger picture of what I'm trying to say is that I don't think the fixes are there defensively, unless Mike Smith is willing to do some radical changes to his philosophy and approach, maybe go in an all-out blitz situation, because the pass rush won't repair itself. I'm sorry, but Robert Ayers and Swaggy are not just going to get younger as this season grinds on and their bodies take more of a beating. Noah Spence injured. Will Golston, the guy, just cannot rush the passer. And I'll tell you what, he has regressed significantly as a pass rusher since he arrived in Tampa. Better against the run, great run defender. Well, you wouldn't know it this year in the same way, in the realm of the whole Bucs run defense. But as a pass rusher, this guy has declined. Seriously has declined. He's got nothing against the pass. Nothing whatsoever. That's not developing a guy. He's still young. He's got quite a bit of athletic ability. I don't see it coming at all. And the secondary, the cornerbacks have issues that we mentioned. Linebackers, obviously, their strengths there. But, man, I think you got to gamble a little bit more, Mike Smith, if you want to save your job, if you want to save this defense, make some things happen. I mean, the Bucs offense, the way it's going now, with the gelling, as good as the Bucs defense, excuse me, as bad as the Bucs defense was last week, yesterday, Sunday, the Bucs offense was very strong in the passing game to spread the ball around like that, spray it around to five different targets, and, O.J. Howard, Brate, and the two receivers, Evans and Jackson, to spray it around like that. That doesn't happen very often in this league. Each guy caught five or more balls. Jameis threw for a ton of yardage against a good defense. The defense has to start taking chances. One thing that I might throw out there, Rex Ryan, I know he's good friends, close with Mike Smith. They're close. I witnessed that firsthand in Jacksonville on the practice field. Close. I got to talk to Rex Ryan as well. Tight, very tight guys. You know, Rex Ryan is all about dialing up blitzes, and maybe he can fly in here for a couple of days, have a marathon film session, and figure out some blitzes that might work for the Bucs, or show Mike Smith some different wrinkles of things that he's done in the past. I don't know, but something has to give. They're not blitzing like they used to. And I understand you got to have faith and trust in what's behind you to blitz, but nothing's working right now, and something has to change defensively. Otherwise, Mike Smith will be gone. He's just going to be gone. I don't think there's some sort of talent revival coming here. He has got to figure out what is wrong with his defense. And, you know, frankly, they need some more heroic superstar efforts. Lavonne David, great play yesterday with that strip and recovering his own fumble. He obviously had a great play in Arizona that got lost, but he scored a touchdown on it, but it sort of got lost in the mess of that game. Hopefully Kwon just needed one game to get back and will be a better tackler in the next game. It's kind of hard to sit out since opening day and then come in and start tackling effectively. He missed a couple of weeks of training camp with that hamstring. And Derek Brooks and other veterans will tell you that it takes 3, 4, 5 games to get your tackling tight to begin with. And yesterday's tackling was atrocious. Kwon would be in that mix of bad tackling. And part of that, though, is his injury and coming back. You got to give him a little bit of a pass. But here's where I stand on the Bucs in total. Okay, in total. I'm the guy who picked them to predict the Bills. I have picked the Bucs to win every game this year. And damn it, I still don't think those were bad picks in the sense that they were good enough to win all of these games. All of these games. But now we know, and this is what I started the podcast with, we know that they don't have that winning edge anymore. It's no longer winning head coach Dirk Cutter, as we write on JoeBucksFan.com. It's formerly winning head coach Dirk Cutter. They're 11-11 under Cutter. They've lost it. And I can't pick the Bucs again until they figure it out. That said, two more games to go. The next two games lay out perfectly for the Bucs. They don't have to wait. They don't have to think about whether they can compete. They don't have to wonder where their season stands. I'll say this here. If the Bucs don't win the next two games, home for Carolina and at New Orleans, the season is over. Put your mind on the draft and what's next while you play your games and play to win. That's really where it's at for me, from my experience, from my watching this team, because if you go 4-4 and win your next two games, you beat a reeling Carolina team and you find a way to go up to New Orleans, where the Bucs haven't won since Jaquie Smith burst onto the national stage in 2015, week 2, after the Bucs were blown out by the Titans. Jack Smith goes up there, has a few sacks, and the Bucs beat up Drew Brees, and all of a sudden they're 1-1, and they recovered from the Tennessee ready beatdown. They couldn't do it last year, and New Orleans has been a tough place for them to play. But if you win the next two, you're 4-4, you're perfect in the division, you're probably in second place, given the way Atlanta is, because they're 3-3 right now. So that puts you at 4-4. They'll probably be at 4-4. Carolina in the basement because you beat them. You're in a good spot. You're in a good spot to win your division. You'll actually would probably have destiny in your own hands if you win the next two games. That's the reality. You go 3-5, you're in the basement. You've got a monumental task. At best, you could hope at that point, at best, if you split the next two games, you at hope to beat the Jets at home. That brings you to 4-5 in this scenario. And then you have 3 in a row on the road. And maybe you pull off 2 out of 3 on the road, you're 6-6. Then you have to win out, go 10-6 with a tough schedule, and then hope you get some help from other teams. And there's no reason to think that you're going to win out. So you got to win right now. This team is gelling offensively, even though there's no running game. Don't get me on a Doug Martin rant. Martin and Jaquizz Rodgers have done the same thing this season. Same number of carries. They're within 5 or 6 yards of each other. We're in the same boat we were in last year, except we just wasted $5 million on paying Doug Martin this year if they let him go through the whole season. That's just the reality of it. Just the reality of it. Wasted money. And we still don't know what Peyton Barber looks like 6 games through the season. So, that's where we are. There's no running game. And we're going to need to draft a running back. But that's a story for another day. Got to win these next two. Otherwise, you're 3-5, and you might as well mail it in. But they have the ability to win these games. Maybe I'm an optimist. Maybe I'm crazy. But this offense can score 30 in each of the next two games. Nobody would be surprised. And a lot of times, that's good enough to win. So there's your hope right there. If you're looking for Monday hope, there it is right there. The Bucs can win these two games. They've played well at home consistently for a stretch. One of the things that doesn't have me jumping off a ledge this morning is that the team itself hasn't imploded at home. It's been a long time since they've imploded at home. They had the winning streak at home, which was just broken by the Patriots. Patriots are a tough team. We know who the Patriots are. So until I see this team fall apart at home, I'm not freaking out, but the stage is set. You split these two games, though, you're 3-5, and you're done. This is going to be most likely an 11-win year in the NFC that required to make a wild card, but forget about it. You go 3-5, miracles like that, I don't have that much faith. Just don't have that much faith. You got to win these next two. I believe they can do it, but am I going to pick them to win against the Panthers next week? You know what? Screw it. I'm not making a pick on a Monday. I got to calm down. I got to get away from the emotions. But if I had to pick today, reality says no. I don't think if you can't contain Tyrod Taylor in that offense, how are you going to contain Cam Newton, who's got more weapons and they're more diverse and more poised on offense than the Bills? I don't see it. But I'm not making an official pick. But if I had to, I'd pick Carolina today. That's what this has come down to. It's so darn frustrating for Bucs fans, and I feel bad for every last one of you because we invest time and money and time and heart and soul and money, and some of us it's money we can't afford, and jerseys and passion and ridicule. And here we are, 10 years ago the Bucs made the playoffs, haven't made it since, and this is what we're looking at. You know, last week we did a poll on JoeBucsFan.com. 2/3 of you voted that you had confidence in Dirk Koetter. You either were confident, very confident, or totally confident. 2/3. 2/3 of you. We're going to run that poll every Wednesday morning, probably pop it at about midnight. And they get about 2,000 votes in a short poll. You can't vote twice unless you're a nut and you're screwing with your IP address and all that. Or using a phone and then you run home and vote. That's what I meant by screwing with an IP address. But there was a lot of confidence in Dirk Koetter going into yesterday's game and the state of the team. I'm real curious to see where that moves, whether Koetter goes under 50%. I don't think so. I still think fans have some faith in Dirk Koetter, especially with what he's doing for the offense, because what a game it was yesterday play calling, and he beat Sean McDermott. He beat that Bills defense. Bucks just couldn't win the damn game. And one thing I want to say, I guess I'll close with it here since it happened at the end of the game. Before I mention this, let me say thank you. DGDoors.com, discount door. I hate when I do that. DGDoors.com, discount garage doors. 1-866-420-DOOR, 1-866-420-DOOR. Couldn't spit the name out right at the end of the podcast. I hate that. Discount garage doors. You're going to get a good discount, a good deal. DGDoors.com. Thank you for your support. Also, Lakeland Automall Ford and Hyundai. Lakeland Automall Ford and Hyundai. Remember, extra $500 off. Contact Sean Sullivan, Lakeland Ford manager. As we mentioned earlier in the podcast, great offer on a new Ford, specifically for listeners of the podcast and Buccaneers fans everywhere. And the podcast, iTunes, subscribe if you want to get an alert when it posts. Podbean, Google Play, appreciate all the formats and all of you who listen there and have made this podcast successful. But let me say this. The way Dirk Koetter closed that game yesterday, you know, you're at, what, on the 30-yard line and not enough room for a Hail Mary to the end zone. So they had this 43-second play that everybody's flipping the ball around and they're going backwards, and it's just an embarrassing end to a game that just what a fitting ending for Bucs fans to have to endure those final seconds there of the Bucs going backwards and forwards and backwards and forwards. Just something very poetic about that. But let me say this. I hated that call. Hated that call. Can you line up for the deep pass, throw the Hail Mary? If you get a penalty, if you launch the ball down the field 50 yards, if you get a penalty, the game doesn't end on a defensive penalty. You've got Patrick Murray there to tie it up. You're only down 3 points. How Koetter could not throw the ball to set himself up for a potential penalty and field goal, mind-boggling. Mind-boggling. I don't get it. You're going to throw over the middle and throw a pitch back and look for a play of a miracle of way greater proportion than a possible flag where some guy gets hyped up and pulls Mike Evans' jersey on a Hail Mary to the Buffalo 30 or 28 yard line. I didn't get that at all. And I know it's just a little pimple on the ugly ass of the Bucs defense, and it has nothing to do with it, but man, that was just a bad, I don't get it. I don't get it. So you know what? That's how the game ended. That's how this podcast ends. Monday Morning Joe, we appreciate you listening. Visit joebucksfan.com. Check out all of our podcasts. We'll see you next week.